All right, thank you, ladies. I appreciate that. It seems to get better and better. I'd like you to open your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, and verses 25 through 37. What is your philosophy of life? In the story of the Good Samaritan, we find three philosophies of life. And most of us will fall into one of these philosophies. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, see, he's a stubborn man. he's got an agenda here. He said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. And a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and said unto him, Take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest, more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. Here we have the story of the Good Samaritan. And we have three main characters in this story. We have the robbers, we have the priest and the Levite, and we have the Good Samaritan, and of course we have the inn where this man is taken. Jerusalem is about 15 miles to Jericho, from Jericho. Jerusalem is above sea level, about 2,600 feet above sea level. Jericho is below sea level, about 1,300 feet below sea level. So the journey's downhill. And the journey is in a desert, rocky area. It had a nickname back then called Bloody Way, because that's where thieves and robbers would hide and rob people and get whatever it is that they wanted. And we find in this story that the robbers has a philosophy of what is yours is mine. That's usually what robbers think. They feel an entitlement to what you have because of their circumstances in life, that they can just take what they want from other people. I will get it any way that I can. This philosophy, of course, originated with Satan, who is the great robber. He's the father of it. Jesus one day said to some people, You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. And of course, Satan blights beautiful lives. He tries to destroy people. He tries to destroy character. And he wrecks homes. He is a destroyer and he is a liar. Satan lies all the time because that's all he can do. He lies to children about their parents. Amen. He lies to parents sometimes about their children. He lies. He lies to people about the Bible. He lies to people about the church. He lies to husbands about their wives. I was reading an email recently of somebody who just complaining about how he thought he was a doormat in his marriage and his wife walked all over him. I think, my goodness, I wonder what she has to say about you. But Satan is a liar. And he likes to destroy. And these robbers, they came down that day and waited for this man. Those robbers, it's a picture of what Satan has done to this world. Satan has robbed man of his inheritance. Satan has robbed man spiritually and left him half dead. Man is born into this world half dead. He's born with a dead spirit. He's born having no access to God, and there's nothing he can do about it in himself. Thank God for the Good Samaritan in the story. Yes, Satan is busy. He's busy today. Very busy. Wherever we see murder, wherever we hear of mass murder, we know that he's busy. He destroys lives, as I said. He destroys character. He destroys homes. And he lies to people and keeps them in bondage. Yes, Satan has left this world half dead, unable to help themselves. So in this story, when we read about this robber, he came and he wounded this man and took what he had and left him there on the road of life, unable to help himself. This man was in bad shape. This man was in a bad condition. He was in a bad way. And man outside of Christ is the same way. He's dead in his trespasses and sins. He cannot help himself. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all gone our own way, as the Bible says. So there's one philosophy of life, and that is that of the robbers. What's yours is mine. How low can character go to actually have that idea in their mind and their soul that they think the world owes them so much that they can just take what they want? But there are people like that. Bankrupt of character. Will even steal from their parents. Steal from their family. Why? Because they just feel like it's entitled to them. Or perhaps they have an addiction that overcomes them. But there are people that have the philosophy of that of the robbers. Then we find in the story, in Luke chapter 10, not only the robber that beat up this fellow, left him for dead, but we find that two people came by, and one of them was a priest, and one of them was a Levi. And notice in verse number 31, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way. It was not unusual for a priest to be walking that way because they lived in that city. There were many of them. But by chance, you know, as I read this story, I'm reminded that this priest is a picture of religion. Religion cannot help a man that is dead and trespasses and sins. Religion cannot raise a man that is dead to God. Religion cannot help somebody that is lost and is on the broad road that leads to destruction. And the priest is a picture of that. Philosophy of the priest is, what is mine and I'll keep it. He looked on this man and he just kept on going. No compassion. There were no witnesses, of course. Maybe if there were some witnesses, he'd show a little compassion. But it was not in himself to help this man. He couldn't help him. He wouldn't help him. And so the philosophy of the priest and the Levite is, what is mine, I will keep it. This philosophy is practiced by millions of moral and religious people of all walks of life. What is mine, I'll keep it. These people are like the priest and the Levite. They're not thieves. They're not robbers. They pay their debts. They're respectable citizens of life, but self is the center of their philosophy. Everything evolves around them. Everything evolves around just them. Selfishness, cold-heartedness. Whatever they do for themselves. So So the priest is a picture in this story of religion. I was raised religiously, and I thank God my parents brought me to church. And when they stopped going to church, they made sure that I still went to church. I can remember playing hooky from church and getting caught. For some reason, my dad stopped going to church, and my mom got discouraged, and she stopped going. But they'd get us up, and they'd get us dressed, and they'd give me a quarter to put in the offering plate. But I had to pass a candy store on the way to church. Without the adult supervision that children need, I found myself going into the candy store, sitting down at the counter, and with God's money in my hand, ordering a cup of tea and a donut, and watching the clock, and bored, waiting for the hour to run out. And that went on for a little while, till one day my dad met me in the living room as I was coming back from church. And he said, "How was church?" "Oh, it was good." "And what's your hurry?" "Oh, I got to go to my room." "Oh, tell me, how was church? Who was there?" "Oh, same old stuff, you know." "Same old crowd." I'm thinking to myself, "Oh my goodness, does he know something?" He says, "Where's your bulletin? Didn't they give you a bulletin?" I've always had a secret hatred for bulletin, John. It's not your fault. But I didn't have the bulletin because I wasn't at church. And my dad did something that I'll never forget. He reached down to the coffee table and pulled out the bulletin. We had a very small church. There's no way that I could have hid in that crowd and not have seen my father. And so I felt like a sinner at the great white throne of judgment. My heart was pounding through my shirt, and my goose was cooked. I had lied. I had lied about holy things. That's worse than any kind of lying that a kid can do. But my dad was very, he wasn't angry because he realized that he too had participated in this by not bringing me. He wanted me to be what he was not willing to do for himself. And I don't believe I was harshly treated, but I never forgot the lesson. But I've said all that to say this: religion cannot help somebody who's lost in sin. And the Levite is a picture of good works. A Levite was a helper of the priest. Levite was not allowed to go into the holy place per se, but he was one, not only he didn't enter the sanctuary of the temple, but he was one that helped. He helped clean the place. He prepared the supplies for the sanctuary, the oil, the incense, the wine. He had care of the revenues that came into the temple. He also later conducted the sacred music. But this Levite is a picture of good works, doing good. You can never do good enough to get to heaven, because heaven is a perfect place. Not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Thank God. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What that verse teaches us is that no one will be able to get to heaven and stand on a pedestal and say, "I deserve to be here because of this. I did this. I cleaned the church. I took care of the incense of the temple. I counted the money. I was a good Joe. I helped the priest." No, no, no. Not according to works of righteousness which we have done. So there's nothing that we can do in ourselves to obtain heaven, except trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. But after we're saved, then God challenges us to good works. He challenges us to help out in the church. He challenges us to help out in the ministry. And we are created unto good works after we are saved. But the Levite is a picture of somebody who's trying to please God by turning over a new leaf. Someone said, "Well, if I turn over a good leaf, will I make it to heaven?" You may turn over a good leaf, but it's the same old dirty book. We need to be new creatures in Christ. And Christ offers that to us freely. The only thing it costs us is our pride. The only thing it costs us is a little humility and a lot of honesty to come before Jesus and say, Lord, I accept you wholeheartedly. I accept what you did on the cross for me. My sins were placed on you. I thank you for it. And just as I am, without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me. As thou bids me come to thee, you're bidding me to come to you. You're inviting me to come to you. I'm not fighting you anymore. You know, before we got saved, we fought God. We were at war with God. I'll not have that man to rule over me. I'll do my own thing. I'll go my own way. I'll do as I please. And that's self, and that's pride. That's why Jesus said, marvel not. I say unto thee, you must be born again. He's talking to religious people that did good. So the priest and a Levite is a picture of religion. And religion and good works cannot help someone who's dead and trespasses and sins. I was a church member right up to about 13 years of age, going all the time, except when I went for tea and donuts. Sang in the choir, helped the priest, did all the things, and I thought I was earning up good brownie points with God. Till I realized that all that was in vain. Because the death of Christ on the cross was sufficient. Plus, minus, nothing. It is good enough. And so there's the philosophy of religion. Also in this story, we see the story of the Good Samaritan. And the Bible tells us that this Good Samaritan went to where he was. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And of course, this Good Samaritan is a picture of none other, no one else, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God the Lord Jesus Christ sees our condition, and he has compassion on us. And he went to where he was. Jesus left heaven's glory to come down to where we are, to where we live. Down to this planet Earth that has rejected him. Down to the place that he spoke into existence. The Creator coming down to the creatures that are rebelling against him, knowing full well that they would crucify him. So why did he come? Because he saw our condition. And then he came to where we were so that we could have access back to him. The philosophy of the Good Samaritan is, what is mine is ours, and we'll share it together. And that's exactly what the Lord has done. This is the philosophy of love. This is the teaching of heaven. What is mine is ours, and we'll share it together. This was the philosophy of this Good Samaritan, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is mine is ours. The Bible says that Jesus died for our sins. Amen. Our sins. He was willing to take that upon himself so that we could be made righteous in him. I'd like you to look at 1 Corinthians 5:21, please. Or just listen. 1 Corinthians 5:21. I don't have it, do you? It's not there. It must be second. That must have been the Sunday I had the donut and the coffee. Amen. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a verse of scripture. For he hath made him to be sin for us. The righteous Christ, who never sinned, was made sin for us. Say, how did that happen? Simply, all of our sins were placed on him on the cross as he died. And he was alienated from God for us. He cried out, Why have you forsaken me, God? God forsook his son because he was paying our sin debt. And he knew no sin. What a terror that must have been to have died that death for him. Someone who knew no sin, so that you and I could be made the righteousness of God in him. And then when we receive Christ as our Savior, a robe of righteousness is placed upon us. And God looks at us through Christ. He no longer sees our sin because it's been paid for. But he sees the righteousness of Christ and the free gift of eternal life. You know, if it's a choice between religion and the robe of righteousness, I'll take the robe of righteousness. If it's a difference between trying to do good and trusting man, and putting my hope in some man or religion or the Word of God and the promises of God, I tell you what, I want to trust in the Word of God. Yes, thank God for the Good Samaritan. Jesus left his home in heaven. Think about it. He's willing to be homeless on this earth when he started his ministry. He wanted to share his heavenly home with us. The Bible says that he became poor so that you and I could be rich. Yes, the philosophy of the Lord is what is mine is ours. And his life becomes our life. And in him we live and we move and we have our being. Thank God that Jesus said one day, I'll face the righteousness of God as a condemned sinner in your place. Turn to me. Turn to me. And you receive the gift of God, which is eternal life. You know, a sacrifice of that magnitude, that act of love, demands a response from people. Amen. The worst thing that a person can do is be indifferent to such a gift. And yet, so many people are indifferent to Jesus Christ. He is still a stranger in this world. And yet, his hands are outstretched till to whosoever will. What is your philosophy of life today? Is it that of the robber? What's mine? What's yours is mine. I'm entitled to it. I should have it. And I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to take it. Has your character caused you to feel that way? Maybe your philosophy in life is that of the priest or the Levite. You're trusting in religion. But yet religion couldn't help this man that was half dead. Maybe you're trusting in doing good things, that God will be happy with you on that basis. Religion cannot help. Religion cannot wash away sin. This beautiful baptistry here, and it is beautiful, a solid oak wood. You could be baptized in this baptistry, but that won't get you to heaven. We only have two ordinances in the local church. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. You could take the Lord's Supper, and that won't get you to heaven. These are two things that are special to somebody who's already a child of God. Amen. But yet, how many people are trusting in the church ordinances to get them to heaven? Are you going to heaven when you die? Oh, yes, I take communion. Whoa, wait a minute. There's no saving grace in that wafer. I remember as an altar boy, I did the unthinkable one day. I dropped the wafers. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, Jesus is on the floor. I am dead. For a long time, I had trauma over such a thing. Because my theology was mixed up with religion. That wafer does not become Jesus, folks. It is a picture of the body of Christ that was broken for you and for me. And then this story ends where the Good Samaritan puts him on his own beast and brings him to an inn. You know that inn is a picture of a local New Testament church. This is where new Christians need to come, to be taken care of, to be getting stronger, to be getting better. And the Bible says, the Good Samaritan says, I'm going away, You take care of them till I come back. When I come back, I've got a reward for you. You know, we got a pretty nice inn here. God has brought some very interesting folks into this inn. We're all different. Different sizes and shapes and backgrounds. But yet, the common denominator is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. Thank God this Good Samaritan took him to a place that he knew that they'd be cared for. He said, now you take care of him. And he gave him 2 pence. That was equivalent to 2 days' wages to a total stranger. How kind. Jesus was the kindest man that ever lived in this world. The Bible says he went about doing good all day long. He was so kind. He says in John 21:25, I love this verse. The last verse in the Gospel of John. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. He went about doing good. He was kind. My question to you is this morning, what more could he have done to win your heart? People are so indifferent today. Could he have suffered a little more on the cross? I think not. Could he have done another miracle? I don't think so. The Bible can't even contain all the miracles that he did. What more could he have done? Could he have given us a better book? I don't think so. He's done everything. And then, not only that, but he knocks on the door of our heart in the circumstances of life, in our life, times that we may be more receptive to spiritual things. And he tries to get our attention. And he invites himself. He deals with us on an individual basis. All he wants is for us to surrender to him. What a natural thing. What a normal thing it ought to be. Us surrendering to the great Creator, the great Savior of the world. And only one thing that stops us. Pride. Just pride and stubbornness. I was saved May 23rd, 1971, far away from home, lonely soldier out on the battlefield, homesick. I tell you, I know what the word homesick means. It means being sick of not being home. That every day is an eternity, and you never think you're ever going to see it again. Invited the Lord Jesus to come into my heart, and he's never left me. The Bible says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Trust in me only. Trust in only me. Because he still lives, you see. He is alive today. He's willing to come into your heart, make you a new creature in Christ. All your friends might not like it. Some of your relatives might disown you. The world won't understand such a radical change. You know, some people, when they get saved, they got a whole new vocabulary. Because the Holy Spirit lives inside of them. And the words that used to flow now are cut off. You got to learn how to say yes and no and please and thank you. And you say, how is that? Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. Amen. Yes, it's a great story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus is a picture of that Good Samaritan. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Salvation, as we said this morning, is in Christ alone. I wonder, is he calling you today? Is he calling you today to trust in him only? You can do it this morning, right where you're sitting. And invite him to come in. You say, Lord, I'm trusting you alone, nothing else. I'm trusting in your shed blood. Come into my heart today. to see my need. Maybe God is speaking to someone this morning to join this local church. You've already been saved. You can surrender this morning to God's leading in your life. Maybe you need to be baptized as a new Christian or an old Christian. God is speaking to your heart. You can submit, surrender to Him today. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you about joining by a transfer of letter or statement of faith. Or maybe just rededicating your life as a Christian. You are a Christian, but you've wandered far from the Lord. You want to rededicate your life this morning. You can do that this morning. Father, this invitation of yours is open. May your will be done. We'll be sure to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.